You know, it feels like I never really left. You should just go ahead and put a cot up for me. Because, you know, if it feels like I never left, then it's like Groundhog Day. It's weird.
Nobody's caught that.
If you've got the money, I got a place for you to crash, bro.
It is Free Talk Live. That's the show you are listening to out there in listener land. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-3733. Or 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. In the studio tonight, once again, it is I, the Lord Reverend Captain Kickass, and joining me.
It's me, Ian.
And nobody.
And we have many, many things to talk about. Just a few of the things that are on my mind. And I've just made a list here so I wouldn't forget any of them.
Have you checked it or have you checked it twice?
Well, now I have, yes. I checked it one time before just now. I know that I'm sometimes both naughty and nice.
Sometimes I'm nicest when I'm naughtiest.
And I'm already in town, so nobody has to announce that I'm in town. And no, my name is not Santa Claus.
I don't have to. I don't have to do anything. I'm an anarchist.
That's
all
true.
I have to do is breathe and die.
And you don't really even have to do that. You could choose to stop.
Dying I have to do.
Well, you can't really choose to stop breathing.
Well, I mean, you could.
You can until you pass out, but then you're going to start again.
Yeah.
Unless you like put a bag over
your head. There are ways to choose to stop breathing, you know. At any rate, the list, as I have it written down in front of me, Bitcoin has reached an all-time high.
Yeah.
19.8 or something. 19,
I don't know what the exact number is, but man, that is awesome news.
That's the best news.
Congratulations to anyone who didn't freak out at the last peak and sell,
right?
You know, or like that bought high, right? Like if you bought last time in 2017 at $18,000 or $19,000 and then the price fell down to $5,000, and if you sold at any point along that line, sorry. If you held, you have now actually seen an appreciation in the price of Bitcoin. Everyone who has ever purchased Bitcoin prior to today,
yes,
has seen the price of that Bitcoin go up.
You have done well.
There have been no I won't say there have been no unprofitable trades because, you know, there's people who bought high and sold low and then bought high again and sold low.
Right, I'm talking about the people who hold on.
But nobody who hodled.
Yeah.
Nobody who hodled lost.
Yeah.
Hodled.
Hodled.
Is it hodl or hodl?
That's the internet
slang. I go hodl because it's hold is the word that they are making fun of. It's somebody mistyped the word hold at some point.
Right.
And it became a meme, so I'm just mispronouncing
it. It's so confusing to people who don't know what we're talking about.
You could pronounce
it hodl. An acronym for hold on for dear life.
I didn't know that. I wonder if that's a retrospective
acronym.
H-O-D-L,
hold on for dear life.
Good point.
So congratulations to Bitcoin. I've titled the show, The Justice Department Wants to Kill Citizens. And that is because of an article that...
So old news then, because that's been going on for a long time.
They are remarkably unjust.
This is from...
What now?
This is from blogs.findlaw.com. The Department of Justice argues the U.S. can kill citizens at its discretion under state secrets privilege.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So they don't have to wait for Epstein to kill himself.
I'll just tease you with the tease they give. As if there wasn't enough to keep you awake at night already, the Department of Justice on Monday, November 16th, argued before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia that the federal government can kill U.S. citizens at its discretion if state secrets are involved.
They think, and they have been borne out by the court, that they can kill just about anybody they want, just about any time they want, for any reason, little reason or no reason.
Now they just
don't
have to get
away
one.
With it.
Now all they have to say is state secrets and it's over.
If you're alarmed by that argument, you aren't alone. U.S. Circuit Court Judge Patricia Mullett, it's actually Millett, called this argument an extraordinary proposition that would allow the executive branch of the federal government to, quote, unilaterally decide to kill U.S. citizens, unquote, even on U.S. soil without due process.
Where's she been? They've been doing that for a long time.
Well, now they can do it as they see.
Now they can do it openly.
Openly and as they see it legitimately. So we can
legitimate just
at
means
least
legal.
They can stop lying for a minute,
yeah.
But they won't.
No, they won't. We could talk about that. We can also talk about, I'm eager to talk about this a little bit. We've talked about Van Morrison, the musician,
yeah,
who has written some anti-lockdown songs.
We played one
protest
of them,
songs.
I think, at one point.
We did, and we've talked about it a couple of times when we first heard about it, and then he released the songs, and they're out now. And lyrically, they are exactly what you would expect out of a protest song. They mirror a bunch of things that we have talked about here on Free Talk Live. I think he's written better songs in his life, or he's just sort of, you know, so caught up in his own, you know, thing that his songs kind of sound the same to me. But
it would be a hard one to write about. It really would, I think.
Well,
he did it and made multiple songs. Now, did he play with Clapton recently?
This is what I wanted to talk about. I brought the article in that Clapton has joined him for a protest track.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I've been asking, where are all the rock and roll rebels, right? And and there aren't any, apparently, except for Eric Clapton.
Wow,
now,
yeah, for him.
Even Twister's sister's just going to take it.
Yeah, they're just going to roll over and take it. So
they're begging for it.
We could talk about that.
We're just going to take it like a whore.
I've got an article out of Illinois that has done some calculations, and they say that this holiday season, since the pandemic, there are over 70% fewer bars and restaurants.
Wait, they're just closed permanently, you mean?
You just can't go and shop at them.
Mm. Yeah, they're not there now. I don't know if that means they'll be gone forever.
I think what they're doing is they're just counting the ones that are open.
I see.
And comparing that against those that were open prior to any shutdown. So it could be that some of these may reopen, but, I mean, we've seen how this goes. I'm pretty sure that none of them are. There's also a federal marijuana legalization bill called the MORE Act, M-O-R-E, that apparently is going to be voted on. So we're looking at federal-level marijuana legalization.
Yeah, they've had bills like this
for
a while.
It's about time those monsters got around to that.
No, yeah. They're voting, though. They voted on things before, and they haven't gone anywhere.
It's up for vote, but there is, of course, a tax involved.
Oh,
You know, they're going to try.
We can't stop killing y'all if you don't give us some money for the service.
They're going to try and take money from otherwise, you know, regular business people without giving them really anything in return. They're just going to take money. They're not investing in these businesses in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, they are will be forcing them to do all sorts of things like licensing, et cetera.
Secession now.
Could have been worse. I mean, the Native Americans didn't have any money, and they hunted them damn near to extinction. You know, they don't like it when you don't have some money for them.
I've also got an article that talks about what happens, or what had happened, whenever there was previously a vaccine that was rushed into market.
People died.
Those are some very interesting things that occurred with these. We could talk about that. I also have how government takes from workers to help the wealthy.
Yep.
Now, this is a bit of an older,
I gave a speech on
sort
that
of
yesterday.
A sort of a flashback file, if you will. But it essentially says that no taxpayer would voluntarily ever enter into such an arrangement, which we, of course, here know. But it's a fun article if we get to it.
Taxation is theft. It's the only way they can get the money to pay for that stuff.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Got to take that by force.
But, you know, I didn't bring any articles for the Bitcoin all-time high, but, man, I am glad. And I think that cryptocurrency in general has the ability to replace all bureaucracy.
It can do it if we play our cards right, because every dollar that we yeet is a little bit less power that the bankers have, that the politicians have, that the bureaucrats have. If we stop taking their dollars entirely, how would they pay anybody to murder anybody?
Yeah, so we've got all that to talk about. We also take your calls and your thoughts as usual. You can take control of the airwaves, talk about anything you'd like here tonight. Again, our number is 855-450-3733 if you'd like to join the conversation.
They'd be so sad.
They would be so sad.
They couldn't kill.
Hopefully you're not going to take it. We certainly want to see more rebellion in the world. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. This is Free Talk Live. Our toll-free number is 855-450-3733 or 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can call in, talk about whatever you like, take control of the airwaves, say what's on your mind. You can talk about anything you want to, anything we're talking about, or anything we've talked about in the past. It's up to you. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
And Ian and Nobody.
Yeah, where did who got rid of Nobody?
He gets lost sometimes.
Nobody got lost again? Well, we'll have to find somebody to find Nobody.
I don't know where somebody is.
I don't know where somebody is
I've never
either.
Met him.
And I'll bet you they don't
or
know
her.
Where Nobody is.
It's getting confusing.
I wonder if Nobody knows somebody who can find Nobody. At any rate, we kicked off the top of the hour talking or teasing you about this article from Find Law. This is blogs.findlaw.com. The Department of Justice argues that the United States can kill citizens at its discretion under state secrets privilege. And that's a pretty alarming thing for those of you who perhaps aren't familiar with my anti-government views anyway.
Yeah, I mean, when you first talked about this, it rang a bell. Yeah, when you told me about it off the air, it rang a bell with me. I felt like this story already happened a few years ago, or that there were arguments being made about it. It might have even been, you know, during the Obama administration. It just seems so familiar to me. Maybe they're trotting out something very similar, or maybe they're taking it just another step further, but it really sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's not the first time, and we know that the United States has already killed U.S. citizens without due process.
Oh, you know what? I think I remember what it was. It was that they were justifying killing U.S. people outside of the United States previously.
I do
and
recall
now
that.
They're justifying it inside
yeah, that
the
was,
United
I believe,
States.
Some of the Obama bombings.
I think so.
Where he
yeah, they
killed
were justifying
an actual
that.
U.S. citizen that was somehow related to some terrorist or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
so
I,
now they're going, all right, well, we can do it there.
No,
we can do it here.
They want to do it here.
Right,
is,
so that's
is
what they're
I'm
changing
saying.
Now. Yeah.
So this case involves two journalists who say the U.S. wrongly labeled them as terrorists. One of the journalists, American Bilal Abdul Karim, alleges U.S. intelligence program Skynet. Yes,
no way.
Yes, that's its real
Hold
name.
On. Is this a real?
Yes, that's its real name. There's actually a link to Skynet.
Okay.
From this from Wired. So the NSA has an actual Skynet program. We've suspected it all along. The Skynet from Terminator movies was a fictionalization of a real program in the hands of U.S. government, and now it's confirmed. So The Intercept reported this. When is this dated?
That's not going to end well.
Back in 2015. So
they remind me of that Hitman character from Rick and Morty. Here I go, kill it again.
Yeah. So at any rate, one journalist, Bilal Abdul Karim, alleges the U.S. intelligence program Skynet put him.
Is that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talking backwards?
No, I don't think so. But it's not him backing talkwards either. Skynet put him on the U.S. kill list due to metadata collected from his digital devices. He claims the government subsequently...
This is the stuff we're not supposed to worry about them having it. It won't do us any harm, right? That's what they said?
That's the stuff.
Except they'll kill us for it.
He claims the government subsequently tried to kill him on five separate occasions.
Oh, my God.
They usually do a much more efficient job of that. Yeah, it's the like, one thing they do well.
Some of us refer to the United States government as the stormtroopers, and apparently it's an accurate
they shoot
description.
Like stormtroopers,
if they've tried five times and missed, they fire.
Well,
like
that was actually the joke. Is you know the one reason that one might hesitate to believe that the U.S. government has killed Kennedy is that he was dead. Now, they killed Castro all the time.
Yeah. On one occasion, Karim alleges he was attacked by a Hellfire missile, which could possibly indicate U.S. government involvement. However, not every judge on the panel...
Nah, it's probably an angry girlfriend.
Not every judge on the panel was convinced. Judge Karen Henderson, yep, it's a Karen, called these allegations a spectacular delusion of some sort of grandeur since the missile strikes occurred in Syria in 2016.
So she thinks he's not serious.
Yeah, during ongoing civil war, bomb and missile strikes were frequent occurrences during that time. The government argues that Kareem's allegations are not plausible enough to move the case forward past the pleading stage.
So he's trying to sue them?
It's not
over
plausible
this?
That the government's going around whacking people?
Well, Kareem alleges, however, that his vehicle was hit twice and his office was hit twice, indicating precision strikes. It is a significant
not
part of the
good
lawsuit.
Enough precision. He's still cooking.
Yeah. It's a significant part of the lawsuit as the D.C. Court of Appeals panel spent a lot of time on whether Kareem has standing, since he's offering circumstantial evidence of being in on the U.S. kill list. So the state secrets privilege.
But wait a minute. This guy was in Syria, you said, at the time?
Correct.
Okay.
That's what this is alluding to. So the state secrets privilege. Should the panel find Kareem has standing, which was by no means clear from the oral arguments, the panel must decide what to do with the merits of the case. Under the doctrine of state secrets privilege, the federal government can block information that would compromise U.S. national security if released in litigation. The doctrine has increasingly been used by the federal government since the Bush administration to block lawsuits against the U.S. So, in other words, somebody brings a lawsuit and they go, oh, we can't talk about that.
Yep.
Oh, state secrets. Mm-hmm. You can't
sue
us.
So we don't have to be responsible for our actions.
Right. So Tara Jordan Plachocki, who represents the plaintiffs, argues that the government is trying to greatly expand its rights under state secrets privilege to get, quote, unfettered and unreviewable discretion to kill U.S. citizens at will, unquote. Hinshelwood agreed that attempts by the government to kill its own citizens are a serious undertaking and that district courts have a right to take a careful look at the government's assertion of the state secrets privilege. However, he argues that if state secrets privilege is appropriately applied, courts cannot adjudicate the merits of the case. State secrets is an absolute privilege, even if it involves constitutional questions.
So that's, wow. Oh, okay, so read that one last line there again about state secrets.
However, he argues that if state secrets privilege is appropriately applied, courts cannot adjudicate the merits of the case. State secrets is an absolute privilege, even if it involves constitutional questions.
Absolute privilege.
They're saying that the executive branch answers to nobody on this.
And not you.
Mm-hmm. Not me. Not anybody.
As Judge Mullet
Which I guess that means the only way to deal with them is to shoot them, because they're going to do whatever they want to do.
As Judge Mullet offered as an example, what would happen if the executive branch put an American on American soil on its kill list? Would that American have any right at all to contest this designation? According to Hinshelwood, the only recourse would be for that person to go to Congress. But courts, he argues, have no role in that hypothetical.
Well, going to Congress wouldn't do Jack Diddley either.
No, of course it wouldn't. So they are trying
to
assert...
If they had the stones to make those decisions themselves, they wouldn't have handed them off to the president.
Yeah. So, you know, those of you who are still of the status mind, your own government wants to kill you.
Oh, well,
it's
I didn't
just
do
keeping
anything.
Its options, though.
I didn't do anything wrong. They would never hurt me.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living to survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war. Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Where did nobody go? Oh, there he is. Nobody's here again. Nobody wasn't here, and now he's here, and then he wasn't here, and now he's back again. So nobody knows where nobody is sometimes, but nobody is here.
I'm exhausted hearing all that.
can't keep up? Didn't have your coffee before showtime, huh?
I don't drink coffee.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that would
Maybe
probably
you should.
Explain it, yeah. This is Free Talk Live, in case you were wondering. You are in the right place. You can dial toll-free. Like, does anybody even, like, pay long distance anymore? I mean, I guess you can get to the toll-free number.
Whoever it is that has the toll-free number is paying the
long
distance.
Right, yeah. And that number is 855-450-3733 or 855-450-FREE, like freedom. And in the studio tonight, it is myself, the Lord.
And it's Ian.
Oh, me. Nobody.
And this just in, as if this is breaking news, our crack reporter, Ian
Father
Freeman.
Guido Sarducci is still dead.
Our crack investigative reporter, Ian Freeman.
I don't do crack, man. I'm not into that.
You haven't investigated crack?
I mean, I know a little bit about it, okay, but I definitely don't do crack.
You're probably more knowledgeable about the subject than I am.
Probably not that much more.
Yeah. No, I've heard it kills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't recommend it.
At any rate, he has unearthed.
We are going to be talking about drugs here.
We are. He has unearthed an article that says a New York City pub refuses to obey.
Yes, and I love stories like this, and this is, and it's rare that you see anything ever like this.
So just to bring our listeners up to speed, New York City is the most locked down, Gestapo-ish area, in my opinion, in the entire United States.
San Francisco is pretty bad, too, from what I understand.
It is. Seattle is also bad. There. You know, yeah. The big cities are worse, than, but New York City seems to, and maybe it's because we're somewhat near, you know, it's an East Coast thing or something. I hear about it more, but it is horrible as far as the lockdown mandates are concerned. But somebody is standing up for themselves?
Well, a few somebodies. I mean, there's obviously been the Jewish Hasidic Jewish community there that has thrown weddings and funerals with hundreds, if not thousands, of attendees, and they were recently in the news.
Yeah, we covered that one here on Free Talk Live, their Brooklyn bit.
Yep, and people have been throwing parties there, you know, unauthorized, illegal parties, and the cops have been breaking them up. So there's definitely been some resistance. But it's rare, of course, to see a business owner actually openly defying various different government edicts. And that's where this story comes from, the New York Post. It's an open rebellion, writes the Post. A Staten Island pub located in a coronavirus hotspot is stealing a page from Seattle's anarchist cookbook, declaring itself an autonomous zone.
Anarchy!
Wait. I don't think Seattle wrote the anarchist cookbook.
No.
Okay.
But Seattle, what they're referencing is over the summer, some of our listeners may recall the CHAZ or the CHOP, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone.
That's right.
And then it changed names to, or some said it changed names to Capitol Hill. What was the rest of it?
Something.
Open protest or something like that.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
So let's see here. So they've declared themselves an autonomous zone at this liquor store. And free from the public safety restrictions, its owners say they will refuse to abide.
Wait, a liquor store, not a pub?
I'm sorry. Maybe it is well, I don't know. It says it's a pub, but it looks kind of licorious on the outside. Anyway, going on. Attention!
Liquor in the front and poker in the rear.
We hereby declare this establishment an autonomous zone. The autonomous zone and the attention all in capital letters. Read signs outside and around Mac's Public House in Grant City, invoking a phrase more commonly associated with the month-long occupation of Capitol Hill in the Emerald City by anti-cop radicals. Quote, we refuse to abide by any rules and regulations put forth by the mayor of New York City and the governor of New York State.
Yeah!
It's a good plan. Those Woo-hoo! Guys are monsters.
I think it's really heroic, and I hope that they haven't been raided yet. We'll check in and see if we can get some updates on the story. The state has been warning for weeks that the South Shore was on the path to orange zone status.
I think the state's just waiting till they can whack them without any probable cause or due process.
Apparently they can now. Based on the area's consistent and surging coronavirus positivity rate, Governor Cuomo made the call. Restrictions, including the prohibition of indoor dining in bars and restaurants, took effect on Wednesday. But Max balked and defiantly kept its doors open.
Nice.
Despite being slapped with thousands of dollars in fines, a shutdown order from the state health department, and the Friday revocation of its liquor license by the state liquor authority, the owner said. So the state's gone all out. It's done everything that it's threatened all of the business owners that it will do, right? So the state gang says, if you don't do what we say, we're going to take your liquor permit. We're going to take your health permit. We're going to take every permit you got.
Yep.
And then if you keep operating, it's going to be criminal charges.
Because
that's what comes
boy.
Next.
Yep,
they don't ever say that part publicly.
Yeah.
They just say when the media interviews, well, if they don't do what we say, we're taking away their license.
Right.
And I don't know how many people realize what that means. If you open your business without these government permission slips,
right.
they will send men with guns in there, and
right.
they will probably take you away in handcuffs, if not kill you.
Every law, every
no
license.
Telling. I've been running a church for a while, and they don't seem to have noticed.
Yeah, every law.
Yeah, but running a church is a little bit different than running a commercial you know, business establishment.
Every
well,
law.
I'll try and get enough financing to find out, because we need a 24-hour mask-free restaurant in Keene.
Every law, every license, every mandate is a piece of paper with a gun behind it.
Yes, and probably more than one gun in this particular case, because they'll likely
well,
send
all
a gang.
Of the guns of the state.
Yeah, they'll send a gang down there to close them down. Or will they? And do they have a community nearby that can come to their defense, like, say, responding to a call out on something like a cell 411,
right.
Which hopefully we'll have some good news about very soon. And you can go to copblock.app to learn more about some of the goings on there. But going on here with this story, at this point, we're okay with it because we're not paying it, said the owner or co-owner, Danny Presti. He said the sheriff's department is issuing us $1,000 fines, so they keep coming back. We're still here. We're not letting them in.
Nice. Wait, how far is New York from here?
About 4.5 hours.
Well, if he's not letting yeah. them in, then technically he's not open to the public.
We need.
He's selective.
We need to get like a carpool and do like a
no.
A,
I'm not going anywhere near that city.
Good God, no!
Sorry, man.
I'm thirsty. I want to go to a bar.
You can go.
Tell him to come up here. I'll buy him a couple of drinks.
The drinks are a little pricey, but Keene Great will serve you in downtown Keene, and they don't require.
No,
any
I know.
Masks.
I want to. Like, if I were there, I would patronize this guy.
I hope that people
saying.
Are. I hope people are coming in there by the droves.
If you're in or anywhere near New York City, please go and give this guy your business.
The guy again is Staten Island. It is called Max Public House in, I guess, a suburb called Grant City.
Is that like MAC apostrophe
yeah.
S?
Yep. Co-owner Keith McAlarney backed up his partner's declaration of COVID independence. He said, quote, "We're not backing down. You think you scared me by saying I don't have a license to serve liquor now? Well, guess what? The liquor license is on the wall. If that liquor license is going to come off the wall, it's going to be done by Cuomo. You want to come down here and pull that license off the wall?" He says in a YouTube video posted Friday, the same day the bar's liquor license was yanked. DeBozo, he continued, presumably referring to Mayor de Blasio, so they call him DeBozo in New York City.
I like it.
"You want to come down here and pull the license off the wall? Feel free to end up coming down, and we'll have a end up having a conversation before you even think about stepping foot on my property. I will not back down."
I love it. It makes me feel so good to hear about somebody like this actually having the balls to tell the state no.
Yeah, this is awesome. And going on Saturday, the joint was operating like it was 2019 as a small group of patrons enjoyed cocktails inside the bar on the house. "Sure, you can have a drink. We're not charging," said co-owner McAlarney.
Then they can't get them for selling alcohol if they're not charging.
They probably can get them for something.
I'm sure.
The thing with these alcohol rules is they are written very, you know, vague, and essentially any sort of distribution of it without a government permit is probably prohibited, whether you charge for it or not. That's just my guess. But it is an interesting approach.
Happy Hours Monday through Friday, 3 to 7, by the way. I've found their website. It's maxpublichouseeye.com.
Let's talk more about this coming up, because, you know, it is an interesting question to convert to private clubs instead of public business.
Indeed. 855-450-3733. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is Free Talk Live, the Monday night edition. I am your host, the Lord Reverend Captain Kickass, and joining me in the studio, it's...
You got Ian.
And nobody.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you will find a cornucopia of information neatly organized by your needs. There is no longer an excuse for ignorance of this important, world-changing information. If you are a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com, where you can get the latest headlines of all of the news relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website. Visit Bitcoin.com. I would like to issue a correction. We were talking in the previous segment about Max Public House in Staten Island, New York, and they are defying the government's lockdown orders in many ways.
Yay!
Their web address is maxpublichousesi.com. I misspoke their website address. If you're anywhere in the New York area, I urge
get you over there
to do business with this particular business.
Apparently the alcohol's free, but tips are recommended as far as, you know, you may want to tip about the value of what you thought the service was that you received, or more.
If you're
getting
free booze and you're not giving a tip, there's something wrong with you. Change your ways.
I imagine you'll get thrown out real fast if you don't tip after getting free booze.
It's at 130 Lincoln Avenue, Staten Island, New York, by the way, if you wanted to know.
Co-owner, this is according to the New York Post that's reporting on the story here, that they've declared themselves an autonomous zone and have said that the governor and the mayor's ordinances and their, you know, or their executive orders, emergency orders, do not apply. They will be ignoring them, even though they've had the liquor permit pulled, the health department permit pulled. They're continuing to operate, and customers were in there, according to the story here. Most, or about five customers, most wearing face masks, sadly, showed up in about a two-hour span to support the bar, which appeared to be exploiting a loophole for businesses in Cuomo's executive order by not actually charging customers.
See, I think it's good that there are actually masky people who realize that even if they agree with them on the science, they don't have a right to do what they're doing, because that's a bet. It's an easier argument to make than the scientific argument, because most people just figure, I don't know anything about science. I just got to believe what they tell me.
There's also a good chance that these are just people who wear masks through, you know, social pressure, and that they don't actually want to, but they themselves are afraid of being ticketed and harassed by the police, because it's not the same in New York City as it is, you know, walking down Keene, New Hampshire streets. If you encounter the police here, there's a good chance the cops here won't be wearing a mask. But if you're in New York City,
New York.
Yeah, get a rope. They'll probably target you, you know?
Yeah, so. I just want to reiterate, too, in case, you know, at the risk of being redundant, I do support your individual rights to choose to wear a mask, should you choose. What I don't support is the government forcing everybody to make that decision.
Now, apparently, according to MurphGuide.com, in an article about Max Public House, because I was looking around to see if there was any updates, you know, did they send in the goon squad yet? And apparently it was actually all the way back on November 20th, so more than a week ago, when Max Public House declared itself an autonomous zone.
Wow.
So it sounds like they may have been, you know, continuing operation despite, although I guess their liquor license was pulled Friday, so this would have been the first weekday that they were open since the license itself was pulled after they declared themselves an autonomous zone. One customer interviewed by the New York Post said, I totally support what he's doing. I don't support the tyrannical nonsense they have in place, said a man who left a $100 tip for a glass of water. He says, I gave them $100 for this water. They didn't charge me. I gave it to support them.
Nice.
Two other couples were hanging out inside for about an hour and a half. One person said, as he left the bar with a woman and baby, quote, he's all right. He's doing the right thing, unquote. The man decided to, or declined to, say if he and his wife paid for the pints of brew and the finger food that they gobbled inside. Others stopped by the bar's Facebook page to cheer the effort. One woman wrote, quote, yes, I keep saying there's more of us than them. Every single small business needs to stand together and do this. So much respect to you guys. Good luck with everything. And this is really a big question that a lot of business owners are super afraid of.
Yeah.
Because even if you aren't afraid of the government, and 99.99% of them are afraid of the government.
Right.
But the few that
who isn't these days?
Yeah, the few that remain, you know, they are afraid of what the customers are going to think.
Right, yeah.
They're worried about, you know, social pressures. And I understand the concern, because it seems like when you look around, especially in a place like New York City, where you probably have tremendous mask compliance, you know, it's a city, so that's what happens there. Yep. New York's one of the worst. So looking around, you can't judge by your eyeballs. You can only judge based on what you say with your customers, the conversations you have with your customers. What are they saying to you? What is it that they believe? Are they afraid?
Right.
And are they giving you this kind of negative feedback about any kind of steps in the more freedom oriented direction? So, you know, kudos to these guys. Obviously, they, you know, I think this is heroic, and this is exactly what it's going to take for if there's ever going to be a semblance of business freedom again,
yeah,
is for people to stand up and refuse to obey and continue to operate even if the licenses are pulled. And this is what I said to somebody this weekend, actually, at the governor's protest. So nobody and I both went to the protest at the governor's house yesterday.
I don't think we've talked about that on air yet.
No, I mean, it was relatively successful. I would say it was close to on par with the previous week. There were different faces there this time, and so some new people had come by. Mm-hmm. And one lady who I met the previous time told me about this couple who was there. I didn't get a chance to meet them, but they were there, and she pointed them out to me, and they're a couple of business owners.
Okay.
And this was the couple that closed their restaurant/ice cream shop because they didn't want to enforce these ordinances. So they made a statement.
Right,
we talked about it on the air. I don't know if you were on that show, but they made a statement. They put up a sign on their door, you know, basically saying we're closed until this stuff is over because we're not going to force this down our customers' throats.
Right.
Now, in my opinion, that was not the best thing to do, but it was a thing that they could do. It was a way for them to make a statement, to get a little bit of coverage about that statement, to get that idea out there. Remember, I think they wrote something like, whatever happened to live free or die. That was
right.
What they had put on the sign on the front of the building. But the sad part was they closed their business. Rather than defying,
right.
Rather than continue to operate, like the guy, the barbecue shop owner up in Toronto, who was arrested for breaking in to his own business after the government goons changed the locks on him there, or the guys down in New Jersey. So, you know, we haven't seen enough pushback of refusing. And I don't like the term pushback because I don't want to push the government. I just want them to leave me alone.
Yeah.
So, we haven't seen enough operational freedom. We haven't seen enough business owners stepping out there.
The government is a bully. The government meets every definition. It's the world's largest bully.
Well, and you got
to
treat bullies in a certain way.
Right.
You
have
don't
to
let
stand
them push you
them.
Around.
You have to stand up to them. That's the only way they back down.
No. So I want you to go to the window, and I want you to open it up, and I want you to yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So kudos to this particular tavern there in New York, Staten Island, and once again, it is Max Public House in Grant City. Heroic.
I can't say enough. If you own a small business, consider having the balls to stay open. Amongst all of this crap and stand up not only for yourself but for other people too, because you may have the courage that other people don't, and I think what you will find is that if you do stand up, you will find that other folks will applaud that specific courage and support you, as his customers obviously have.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great. I just scanned through an article. Apparently they're also offering merchandise for sale in an effort to cover, you know, their legal costs. It looks like they face up to $10,000 fines per day. So they've got t-shirts for $25. I think they're selling them 3 for $70 or something like that.
Well, I told the lady at the protest that this is the sort of thing it's going to take. Now, I didn't know about these guys at the time,
yeah.
But you know, just telling her, hey, look, you know, there's going to be people having to go to jail during this, and
yeah.
I understand that's not what anybody wants to have happen to them. I get it, but unfortunately that's what needs to occur. I mean, I don't want it to happen, but it's likely to occur, right?
Yeah,
like if you do what this guy in this article says he's going to do, and that is ignore the governor and ignore the mayor's mandates, there is a darn good chance men with guns are going to put him in a jail cell. And if you can understand and accept that in advance, then they don't have the power over you anymore.
Right.
See, they'd have less power if we were doing it to them instead of just standing strong while they did it to us.
Putting them in jail?
Putting them in jail, putting them in the ground, putting them somewhere.
We've got more Free Talk Live coming up, 855-450-3733.
Yeah, I don't think violence is the answer.
Want to accept Bitcoin at your online store? There's a good chance you already have what you need. A a WordPress using WooCommerce, and a Bitcoin address. Now all you need to start taking Bitcoin payments on your website is the AnyPay app on your Android or iPhone. Just paste your Bitcoin address into AnyPay, then connect it to your website with our one-click plugin for WordPress. Now your website takes Bitcoin. Start to finish in 15 minutes or less with no complicated steps. Download AnyPay from the App Store today.
Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Kicking off the second hour.
Thanks to Captain.
Hey, you're welcome. If you would like to join the conversation, our toll-free number is 855-450-3733 or 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. In the studio tonight, it's
Ian.
And nobody.
And I am apparently piloting this thing. I am better known as the Captain. Commonly.
Good to have you.
Folks say, hey, Captain. And I go, yeah. And then we have a conversation. It's generally how
I'm your captain. I'm your captain.
I did once put together a playlist of a bunch of songs that are either have captain in the title or contain, you know, something about captain, and played it for a card game I was hosting. It took a while for folks.
They caught on.
Yeah, Is every song you're playing have Captain in it? Like after four songs or something? Yeah, it was fun. Anyway, we've been talking about a lot of fun things, but I wanted to talk about something. As you folks may or may not know, I spent a bit of time in the Seattle area playing heavy metal music. I also do parodies. You can actually hear a parody of mine over at lordkickass.com. And I've been wondering for quite some time, where are all the rock and roll rebels when it comes to telling the government to go F themselves regarding these lockdowns and the mask mandates and all this kind of stuff?
Maybe rock and roll's dead.
I have been thoroughly disappointed by the most, you know, what is at least purported to be the most rebellious, punk rock and heavy metal in particular, are purported to be the most rebellious of, you know, those forms of music or those forms of rock and roll.
Nah, and, it's the hippies.
And I think that my latest parody is more heavy metal and punk rock than anything that's been done by heavy metal or punk rock artists, and it's a parody of a Beatles song, so it's not very punk rock or heavy metal. But that being said, we did find that Mr. Van Morrison, he wrote, I think his most popular song is Brown Eyed Girl. He did actually an EP, three tracks of nothing but anti-lockdown songs. And we mentioned him here a few times on Free Talk Live. I think we even played one of his songs.
Or we did,
part of one. And we applaud him for doing that. He's actually trying to organize, you know, some sort of musicians getting together and, you know, help end all of this kind of thing.
I wonder what kind of responses he's getting from people.
Well, I can tell you he's gotten a response from one guy.
Oh?
Eric Clapton.
Man.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That guy, Eric Clapton, legendary guitar player who's, you know, in his 60s for sure.
The Eric Clapton.
The Eric Clapton, Led Zeppelin fame, I believe. Wasn't he in Zeppelin?
I don't think. Was he in Zeppelin?
Who did he play in Zeppelin?
Let's find out. Nah. Wasn't that Cream?
Would you know his name if you saw him in heaven?
I think I have Clapton on the mind because, or Zeppelin on the mind because I hate Led Zeppelin.
What else was he in? Was he in something else besides Cream, or was it just Cream, and then he went solo as Clapton?
Yeah,
I feel like there was maybe one other band, but
if
I could be wrong.
If only there was a device in which we could look these things up.
Well, what I'm interested in is what the reaction is to this, because I know that when Van Morrison...
It was the Yardbirds, and then it was Cream.
Okay, thank you. When Van Morrison was, you know, in the news for writing these protest songs... He was being attacked, and
yes.
Rolling Stone, of course, was primary in attacking him. So, you know, I'm curious to see if Clapton joining the ranks has done anything for the publicity.
Because he's no rank amateur.
No, he isn't. You know, he's legendary as far as
75 years old, by the way.
Oh yeah, that's even older than I thought.
And Van
was.
Morrison, I believe, is like 73 or 74.
Yeah. So kudos to the geriatric rock and rollers.
Yeah.
Because the youngsters certainly aren't doing a damn thing, in my opinion. Near as I can tell, they're all just.
Is that because young people are like brainwashed by the government more effectively, or is it because Clapton and Van Morrison have made plenty of money and they just don't care? Like, they don't care what, you know. They figure, all right, even if I lose half my audience, I'm 75 years
75,
old.
75, right? Yeah.
Who cares?
Like, yeah. I mean, there is something to be said about what I think is a Janis Joplin lyric, right? Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Yeah. Nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free.
So, you know, I guess when you get towards the end of your life, perhaps you do start doing things a little more freely because you know that, well, you know, your time on the planet is short. But
that's actually a point I made at the protest where I was telling you about those business owners who I told this lady, look, somebody's going to stand up. And the fact is, these folks are older. They really don't have anything to lose. It's going to get to the point where business owners, look, if the government is going to put you out of business through the restrictions, why not go ahead and make the stand? I mean, the only thing that could get worse for you is they throw you in a jail cell, because that's the only thing that doesn't
happen. At least then you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat.
That's true. You get three hots and a cot.
Yeah, that's true. So. Well, anyway, this from Variety.com. Music legends Eric Clapton and Van Morrison team up for anti-lockdown single called Stand and Deliver.
That was one of Van Morrison's, so he must have, I think it was Van Morrison's. Or did they write it together? Because I think that was one of the ones that he wrote, and then...
This was from November 27th of 2020.
Right. I'm just saying, I wonder if Clapton was involved in writing the song.
Let's find out. Music legends Van Morrison and Eric Clapton have announced a new single, Stand and Deliver, in support of Morrison's Save Live Music campaign. The blues track was written by Morrison and is performed by Clapton.
All right.
Morrison, best known for songs like Brown Eyed Girl, Domino, and Wild Night, as well as seminal albums Moondance and Astral Weeks, released three songs protesting the UK lockdown over September and October, titled Born to Be Free, As I Walked Out, and No More Lockdown.
Okay, so this is brand new, then.
So this is new.
Now, is it out yet? Or are they announcing that this is a thing that's going to happen?
They've announced a new single.
Gotcha.
So I haven't seen it. There wasn't a link to it, so I don't
look around.
We'll find out. I think the article mentions a release date a little further down.
2 days ago, they tease the new anti-lockdown song.
Stop teasing.
You tease. Proceeds from Stand and Deliver will go to Morrison's lockdown financial hardship fund, which helps musicians facing difficulties as a result of the coronavirus and resulting lockdown measures.
Interesting.
We've covered a little bit of that. I know there was a Save Our Stages, something along those lines.
Hashtag.
Yeah, which was basically a fund to get some lawyers to beg the government for permission to open back up and start having shows. Whereas I would prefer to see a fund put together where it would encourage musicians just to go ahead and put together their own gigs. I mean, all you need is a gas-powered generator, a PA system, and a willing band.
And a collection of AR-15s.
I mean, you could still go do a rooftop concert from somewhere. You know, you don't necessarily have to put yourself directly in harm's way, although that would be much cooler to do like a sidewalk busking type of show, something along those lines. But what I see coming from folks that I'm aware of that are, you know, in the heavy metal and the punk rock world is just everybody sitting around going, gosh, I can't wait until we can play shows again. Or they're trying to figure out how to do an online show.
You can play a show now if you're not a pussy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Make your own frickin' show.
Right. The trick is finding a venue owner who's also not afraid.
Well, you don't need a venue. You just go play wherever. Again, all you need is a generator and a PA system and some gear. You can go do a show wherever
the hell you want to.
Yeah. I don't know about an owner, but I would love to find an owner, but I have been looking to find a place that I could rent for, you know, just one night of a show. It can either be a band or a bunch of strippers. I don't know where I'm going to find either, but I'll manage.
It could be a band made up of a bunch of strippers.
That would rock.
Now you're thinking.
So I, you know me, I like to put two things together to make a new thing. So, you know, I do that with the
See, I like to put two things together, but put a little piece of rubber over one of them so it doesn't make a new thing.
Very well. Clapton, the only three-time inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Called upon the dearth of live events due to lockdown restrictions, deeply upsetting. So he's calling the lockdown deeply upsetting. There are many of us who support Van and his endeavors to save live music. He is an inspiration, Clapton said. We must stand up and be counted because we need to find a way out of this mess.
You messed up, man.
I messed up. The alternative is not worth thinking about. Live music might never recover.
Ugh.
Yeah, it is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Ha ha, our toll-free number is 855-450-3733 or 855-450-FREE, as in freedom, in case you like to touch the letters on your keypad instead of the numbers.
And remember, freedom isn't free. Cost $4.95.
Actually, Team America has established it's $1.05
per minute.
Freedom costs $1.05.
That's they've inflated the currency.
Freedom isn't free. It costs folks like you and me. And if you don't chip in your $1.05, who will? That's their take on it. Anyway,
it's true.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian
and me, nobody.
Should we all talk like cavemen? In the studio tonight, it's me, Captain.
Your modern world frightens and confuses me.
Unga bunga.
I'm just a simple caveman.
So December 4th is a big day, Captain.
So it seems. This article does mention December 4th as the release date for this collaborative tune between Van Morrison and Eric Clapton.
That's this Friday.
Groovy, day before my birthday.
It's called Stand and Deliver. It'll be available for download and streaming from iTunes, Amazon Music, Deezer, and all other outlets. I've never heard of Deezer. On December 4th. You had an interesting quote from Sir Eric Clapton. I'm calling him Sir. I don't know if he's knighted or not, but whatever.
I believe he is.
I think he was.
I mean, he might as well be. He's sold more than 100 million albums.
Amazing.
In his lifetime and has 8 Grammys, according to Wikipedia anyway.
This actually is coming from the Billboard report about the same story. He said in a statement announcing the protest anthems, quote, "I'm not telling people what to do or think. The government is doing a great job of that already. It's about freedom of choice. I believe people should have the right to think for themselves."
Oh, man.
My body, my choice.
I wonder if there's a sound clip of him like actually saying that. That would be cool to have. Just a, you know, clip of that.
But yeah, kudos to Clapton for being willing to put his reputation on the line. Most people don't have this level of courage.
Yeah.
So right on.
And this article just goes on to say, Eric's recording is fantastic and will clearly resonate with the many who share our frustration, said Morrison. It is heartbreaking to see so many talented musicians lack any meaningful support from the government, but we want to reassure them that we are working hard every day to lobby for the return of live music and to save our industry.
I don't want to see them get any support from the government.
No,
I want to see them just be left alone, because when government supports which musicians get paid, you're going to see some bad, bad art.
England apparently on Thursday had announced a return to the three-tier system after lockdown lifts on December 2nd. A number of cities, including the capital region of London and Liverpool, fall under the lesser restrictions of Tier 2. The virus so far has claimed more than 57,000 apparently in the UK, according to this article. So, but yeah, kudos to Eric Clapton, a legendary guitarist, for standing up and joining in this particular fight. You know, I mean, I don't expect musicians specifically to like pick up arms and defend, you know, like the guy in New York whose business is, you know, under siege basically by the state, right? But I do expect them to perform music about it, right? Perhaps go and find a rally or a protest that's going on that, you know, and just set up and start performing there. Something. Do something, damn it.
So I was just curious to see what some of the responses were to this particular news. And of course, I didn't know this, but somebody is dragging out a statement that Eric Clapton made more than 40 years ago at a concert, allegedly during, let's see, August of 1976, where he made some allegedly racist comments, according to those who had attended that. And they actually have the alleged comments here, which basically are xenophobic in their demeanor. But again, this was 40 years ago.
Yeah, the dude's 75.
So, I mean, I suspect that he's probably changed his opinions over time, but that said, that's what they're dragging out. They're dragging out the old skeletons here to try to drag down his reputation. Yeah.
They gotta cancel anybody who doesn't follow that party line.
Yeah, there's even comments in this one that says, I find it hilarious that certain people in the comment sections are stating how disappointed they are in these two and promising never to buy another album of theirs again. I might actually just go out and buy some Clapton.
Yeah.
You know?
Apparently at the time, according to those who were defending him, Clapton was deep into drug addiction at the time those statements were made.
No, a major rock and roll artist back in, you know, 40 years 70s. Ago into drugs?
It's such a disappointment. So. I can't imagine the guy who did the song Cocaine doing drugs.
The attacks on these, this is another comment, the attacks on these musicians, free speech, and art initiated by those so uninvested that they clearly didn't even read the articles are nothing else but an affront to humanity, free thinking, and the entire art world. Well said.
Yep. Kudos.
It's true.
Indeed. Switching gears, I wanted to talk a little bit about this article. Out of the state of Illinois.
Oh, it's going to be bad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. This is from illinoispolicy.org. And this headline reads, Shop Small Gets Smaller in Illinois with 11,200 fewer shop owners.
Yeesh.
So this came about right before Small Business Saturday.
Right. Shop Small is a small business promotional effort by, of all places, American Express. So I happen to know that it exists because our friends Colleen and Chris, who are opening up a convenience store, they had the sticker for this a few years ago. The American Express people were pitching it around, which to me seems, you know, disingenuous. I'm not saying our friends are being disingenuous,
right.
But for American Express to be promoting Shop Small, one of the largest credit card corporations on the planet.
Yeah, I saw something equally obtuse. I saw an ad for Small Business Saturday from Amazon.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Saying Shop Small Business Saturday at Amazon.
Well, okay. You could make the argument that Amazon does have small businesses that are its sellers.
I'm sure they would make that argument.
Like our co-host Conan, for instance, sells books via Amazon.
Right.
But yeah, it's a stretch.
You can get your items sold through the Amazon website.
And they take a huge chunk.
But I do find it a bit disingenuous to see an Amazon ad saying...
It's an eye roller.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be like McDonald's saying, please support your local restaurant, you know, your mom and pop deal, you know. It's like, I mean, that would actually be better. At any rate, the big bold print under this headline says, ownership of bars and restaurants also has declined over 70%.
Yikes.
Thanks to COVID-19 and the associated restrictions.
No, thanks to the government.
They do kind of say that, but without using the word government. But yes, that's exactly what they say. 70% decline. 855-450-3733 is our number. Has your business been closed because of the government?
Maxwell, he was a runaway to rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet said, it's the grain. Third vet, she said, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody said,
VINOVITE.com. I have been listening to these Dynavite ads, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loves it. Now he's close to 10, and the Dynavite's a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Yes, it is the Monday night edition of Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the program. You can join in the conversation at 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE, like freedom. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Lord Reverend Captain Kickass.
And it's Ian.
And nobody.
And you've heard us talk about Divi here on Free Talk Live, and maybe you've wanted to set up one of their easy-to-deploy masternodes or stake Divi so that you can begin earning Divi right now. Ian says setting up a Divi masternode was super easy, and staking was even easier. Now, we're not investment advisors here on Free Talk Live, but we think you will be impressed with your earning potential with Divi as compared to traditional investment vehicles. Go to DiviProject.org and get started. You can buy Divi at several exchanges or directly from the Divi team. If you need help, there's a link to their Telegram channel right on the front page at DiviProject.org. That's DIVIProject.org. We were talking about this article from IllinoisPolicy.org that says, shop small gets smaller in Illinois with 11,200 fewer shop owners. And that ownership of bars and restaurants also has declined over 70% thanks to all of the lockdown mandates and restrictions.
So fewer shop owners. Earlier when you teased the story, nobody had sort of thought this might have meant that they could reopen. This isn't people who've just stopped temporarily, it sounds like. That sounds to me like these are people who are done. They're out of business.
I don't know if the article gets that specific, but okay, we will find out. After Black Friday comes Small Business Saturday. Now, keep in mind, this article was written before the weekend. So you have to imagine it's 2 days ago, because I'd need to read this in the past tense. Past tense.
Yep.
After Black Friday comes Small Business Saturday, when Americans are encouraged to support their local retailers. But there will be over 11,200 fewer Illinoisians. I don't know if that's right. Illinoisans.
It sounds like it's a little more Illinoisy than they usually say.
They're annoying.
There will be 11,200 fewer folks from Illinois running retail stores on November 28th, thanks to the state-mandated lockdowns. And when it is time to take a shopping break to eat or drink, there will be nearly 17,600 fewer Illinois bar and restaurant owners to serve you. Retail ownership dropped 61% during the COVID-19 restrictions. Self-employed owners of retail stores as well as bars and restaurants dropped significantly between October of 2019 and 2020 of the same month.
Yeah, if they're saying ownership has dropped, that doesn't sound to me like these stores are temporarily closed and they're going to reopen.
And this next sentence may clarify. Small Business Saturday this year will see 61% of the retail businesses shuttered compared to last year. I don't know what they mean by shuttered specifically, if they mean
they're closed,
completely out of business, or they just, you know, aren't open and they're waiting to reopen whenever the government tells them they can. The carnage has been even worse for bar and food service owners, where 71% are out of business. While it's still
out of the business.
Out of the business is what that says, yeah. While it's still too, that's 71% are out of the business.
Well, that doesn't sound surprising to me, because if you remember over the summertime, we read a story about 60% of Yelp listings, or Yelp, I don't know if it was just restaurants or if it was all business. I think it might have been all businesses, but It was the very least restaurants, and that 60% of them had closed permanently as of the summertime. So to say it's now 71% is not a stretch.
Yeah. Well, and so I realize that this is sort of a slice of the U.S. We're talking about Illinois specifically as far as the state is concerned. But I have to imagine that this isn't just Illinois. Some states are going to be higher, some are going to be lower. But it's certainly an interesting cross-section to take a look at and see what kind of carnage has befallen small businesses because the government can't stay out of their businesses.
Walmart's still going strong, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of the big retail outlets.
Because it's okay for them to be open. It's okay for all the retailers like that, the department stores. They're fine.
Well, it's really interesting. It seems like the strategy they're pursuing is to keep the really rich people getting richer and make all the poorer people poorer and poorer and poorer.
Well, the saddest part about this story is not just the fact that this is tremendous, you know, business carnage here, that people are, you know, their businesses are going out of business, and that, of course, means millions of jobs are lost, and those people are now SOL. They don't know, you know, what are they going to do?
There's going to be a lot of suicides in that group, I think.
Absolutely, especially during the holidays, you know, when people are being told they can't go out and see their family members and things like that.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is just going to get worse. But
don't kill yourself. Just go out and do what you want to do. You want to go see your family, go see them. Take a risk instead of taking a jump.
Well, that's the problem here. Is the other sad part about this is that 70%+ of restaurants, or the whatever the other number was, I forget the other one. 61% of other businesses. That just means all those tens of thousands of businesses just gave up. They didn't do what we were suggesting, which is to say, oh, well, looks like the numbers are going into the red. Looks like the government's regulations are going to crush us and put us out of business. We should just open up and do what we want and throw caution to the wind and say, this is it. This is our last bash. Here we go. Let's see what happens. But not a single one of them did. They just all went under.
If
just obediently failed.
If 17,600 restaurants would just go ahead and open,
I mean, I'd take 10%. I mean, you know, the odds that 100% of people are going
to
do this.
A thousand of these businesses could get together and go, you know what? F the government.
Don't
get
together.
Open.
Don't wait for somebody else. I mean, I get that. I get that people want to hold hands together, but these guys.
Getting together is a good thing, but just somebody do it.
Yeah.
And the rest of us can join them.
Right. They got to have a leader. Somebody has to step out there.
The article continues, while it is still too early to tell just how many of these closures will be permanent.
Oh, okay.
The reinstatement, I'm laughing because I don't think it's too early to tell.
Yeah.
The reinstatement of Tier 3 mitigation protocols November 20th that limit economic activity without substantial government relief of any form make permanent business closures far more likely. Mm-hmm. It isn't
as in inevitable, as in their businesses have been stolen by the government.
Yeah, it isn't just the business owners who are hurting this holiday season. Illinois job counts remain down more than 415,000 relative to pre-pandemic levels. For the accommodation and food services sector, employment is down 108,600 compared to February. In the retail trade sector, employment is down 13,900 compared to February. Although it may appear that retail workers are not hurting quite as much as business owners in the sector or workers in other areas of the economy, this is likely because many large businesses in the sector somewhat benefited from the pandemic. Grocery stores, home improvement stores, and large online retailers such as Amazon have seen increases in hiring in the recent months.
Right, a lot of home improvement stores have seen upswings because, well, people are stuck at home, or so they feel. And so they're like, oh, well, you know, I've got all this time. Now I might as well repair that thing that's broken over there.
Right. You know, get around. When I get around to it, right, you know, that list that everybody has that I'll do when I get around to it.
They're doing that now. Yep.
We could talk more about this sad story, really, out of Illinois. I don't know any other way to... It is carnage. I don't know any other way to describe it. But let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have the Christian Anarchist calling. Gene, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello? Gene, the Christian Anarchist. Going once. Oh, there he is.
Hey, there you are.
We have you.
Yep, you're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to expound a little bit on the the lies that I talked about on yesterday, and one of them is going to probably make some people angry today, but one of those lies is chemtrails.
Okay, well, hold that thought, Gene. We want to talk to you about that. Just hold on with us. Free Talk Live is 855-450-3733. What do you think about chemtrails? We'll get the thoughts of our caller coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to Free Talk Live, everybody, the live Monday night edition. Our toll-free number is 855-450-3733 or 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We'll get back to the Christian anarchist's call, and we'll learn what his thoughts on chemtrails are in just a bit. But in the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
And AnyPay 2.0 is here, not in the studio, but it's here as in it has arrived. And crypto payments are now faster than ever. If you're using Edge Wallet, Handcash, Bitcoin.com, or Dash Wallets, your experience should be smooth. But some wallets aren't yet ready for this impressive new technology. These wallet programmers need to hear from you, the wallet users. Visit AnyPayInc.com/upgrade to learn why some popular wallets are incompatible with AnyPay 2.0, and reach out to those wallet programmers and encourage them to make payments perfect at AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. All right, let's get back to the Christian anarchist who's calling in. Where are you listening? Are you listening online?
Yeah, DLive.
Okay, awesome. You had some thoughts on chemtrails, so go ahead.
I do, and I'm sure some of the callers know that I'm also a pilot. I don't fly the big jets. I fly a little airplane, but
it's not pronounced pilo.
What?
it's not pronounced pilo.
Pilo? No, I don't know. I've never heard that.
Like Merlot, right?
So anyway, the whole thing about chemtrails, it's really, people need to look at things logically. Try to imagine what you're presenting, and then try and figure out what it takes to have that kind of a thing. So they're trying to claim that all these streaks in the sky are chemicals being sprayed by the government for whatever nefarious reason. First of all, the government isn't capable enough and competent enough to pull something like that off, because in order for the government to put that many streaks in the sky, it would require fleets of thousands of aircraft. And even so, spraying something at altitude, which is over 30,000 feet, is not going to really present the chemicals where you want them to be, because up there you have the winds aloft. They're going like several hundred miles an hour. So whatever you spray in one location is going to get blown off to some other location. And you can see this whenever you have a huge volcanic eruption somewhere. The volcanic ash will go up into the stratosphere, and it'll gradually work its way around to another location of the planet. And then within 2 or 3 days, it's all gone because, it, like anything else, gravity pulls it down. So your soot and your ash and stuff are going to come down.
Right. It falls to the ground. And then, depending on how large the, eruption was, maybe a city or a town or several towns get coated in the ash and then they have to clean it up. But yeah, it does eventually come out of the sky.
So now I can explain to people what those streaks in the sky are, because it's simply water vapor condensing from the jet engines. And it only happens when the atmospheric conditions are just right for it. It all has to do with density, altitude, and the difference between the dew point and the temperature and the dew point spread. These things all determine when the moisture coming out of the exhaust of a jet will condense into a cloud-like formation. There's nothing mysterious about it. You can anybody can look this up. It's very simple.
Is this kind of like, I don't mean to interrupt you, Gene, but is this kind of like, I've heard these tales, but I've never been able to speak to anybody with, you know, sort of any intelligence about it. But I've heard these tales of, you know, back in the day, there used to be, you know, stories of what I could only call a frozen brick of human excrement falling out of the sky because, you know, like an airplane had, you know, launched its, you know, toilet drainings somehow out of the aircraft and it, you know, fell to the ground.
Those have been known to happen, but it's typically because there'll be a small leak in the fuselage and some liquid is slowly leaking out of that leak, and it just grows bigger and bigger and bigger on the outside of the aircraft until it finally breaks free and drops.
Okay. So it kind of forms a stalactite or stalagmite, whichever.
Right. Yeah. Big blob on the outside, and then it breaks free.
There's some really good, easy to understand answers. I mean, Gene, you're definitely throwing out some of the basics here, but there's some really well-written articles on a website called contrailscience.com that really gives some examples for folks and gives them a good explanation to really just bust up all of this chemtrail fear-mongering, and they do an amazing job. I highly recommend that website.
The thing I always wonder about is people say, oh, well, this is in those things and that's in those things. And I'm like, do you have a 30,000-foot ladder that you climbed up to take a sample of those chemicals?
No.
Because you really can't tell what's in a cloud of chemicals from 30,000 feet away.
And the other thing is I've noticed people say, well, look, he's turning his spray nozzles on and now he's turning them off and now he's turning them on. And what's happening when you see the contrails going, you know, forming and then disappearing and then forming again, is the aircraft is flying through different bodies of the atmosphere.
Yeah. Different temperatures.
Different temperatures.
Different humidities.
And so as the plane flies, it might fly through a little bit of a colder air section, and it's going to have a contrail, and then it moves into another warmer air section, and it could go through several of those in fairly quick order, which makes it look like, and especially if he's right at the altitude, you know, he's just right on the edge of where this this atmospheric condition exists.
So I'm curious, what prompted you to call in about chemtrails tonight? Have you had some recent interaction with some people?
Yes.
Something
on Twitter, yeah.
Oh, boy.
So I had to, share my thoughts with the rest of the world and,
We've had these guys calling in on from time to time over the years here on Free Talk Live. It's probably started all the way back in the very beginning days of the syndicated show. And there's just so much information out there and so much science around how contrails work. And it all explains all the basic claims of the chemtrail fanatics out there. But then again, every now and then you do get a story about where it's like definitely 100% the government was spraying some stuff. So when I was living down in Florida, they did spray what they called malathion all over the place because of mosquitoes. And you woke up in the morning and people reported, you know, seeing the stuff on their cars and things like that. So it was pretty obvious that something was going on in that particular case. It made it into the news. So there have been some examples of governmental programs attempting to control weather and or spray chemicals. So I can understand why people are paranoid about it. But to just look up in the sky and think that you know what you're looking at is ridiculous. And 99.99% of the time, it's going to be just a contrail.
Spraying is sometimes done for many different reasons. And when they do that, they require a very special aircraft. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do. You have to refill the aircraft with all the chemicals. You got to go and do your, you know, run your pattern, whatever it is, and then come back and fuel up again and go back and do it again.
Right.
So it's definitely aerial application of stuff happens. It's been done. But that's not what most people are looking at when they're looking at those contrails.
No, and the other point is just sort of the human aspect of it. I think that's worth mentioning is that if this is really going on the way these conspiracy theorists believe that it is, and they seriously, they look up at the sky and every single contrail, they're like, that's a chemtrail, like right. as though they know anything about it. They, you know, if it were true that these things were being sprayed as constantly as they believe that they are, then this, we're talking about a massive program with thousands upon thousands of pilots who are in on this.
Yeah.
And, it would be worldwide, because the last time I was in Venice, I took a picture above Venice
right.
of all the nice little contrails, and I posted it on Twitter, and I said, ooh, I guess the USA chemtrail planes are now flying over Venice, you know, because...
Oh, I'm sure these kooks, you know, live everywhere. I mean, and some of them are good people, obviously, but they've just been...
Good kooks.
They've been led to believe this line of malarkey that is just not based on science. It's just like the flat earthers.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the call tonight, Gene. We do appreciate you. Yeah, I haven't seen anything that makes me believe that there is a fleet out there flying around, dumping stuff on us. I've seen all the conspiracy stuff on it, and I'm not convinced.
It's ridiculous.
We've got more Free Talk Live coming up.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information, neatly organized for your needs. If you're a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com, where you can get the latest headlines. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website. All put together by the best minds in the business to teach you about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin.com.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. It is Free Talk Live. It is the Monday night edition. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-3733 or 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. In the studio tonight, it's me, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
And let's circle back to the rest of this story from Illinois. This is from IllinoisPolicy.org. The headline is, ownership of bars and restaurants has also declined over 70%. And that's not including some of the other businesses besides restaurant and bars, which apparently are around 61%. While the increases in employment in any area of the economy are a positive sign, they're referring to the big corporations seeing a bit of an uptick in hiring while all the small businesses have had to shutter. These trends reveal the disproportionate impact of COVID-19 and state-mandated lockdowns on small businesses. Making matters even worse, Illinois has experienced two consecutive months of payroll declines. Even as the rest
now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they've been trimming jobs? Is that what a payroll decline is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's a different way of measuring employment, right? Instead of unemployment, which we know there's so many different ways to slice and dice what when the government and the media say, well, unemployment is up or down. There's so many different ways to slice and dice that. A different way of looking at unemployment is seeing how many people are getting a paycheck this, you know, 2 weeks or this month. Versus the same time last year. That's a payroll decline. Even as the rest of the nation continues its recovery, more than 100,000 Illinois folks gave up their job search altogether last month.
Wow. I guess they're going on welfare.
Yeah. Many of the industries that remain the most affected are industries that will be most tightly restricted under the Tier 3 mitigation measures. Now, we're not familiar with these tier systems here in New Hampshire, but in like Great Britain, for example, they have a tiered sort of system. In some of the states, they use these other tiers to designate either like a high population area or what they think is a high risk area. Oh, no, those guys are Tier 2, and you know, you're only a Tier 1 and all this kind of stuff.
Tier is also a prison term.
It certainly is, as well as is lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
New mitigation efforts include restrictions on bars and restaurants that close their indoor facilities and occupancy limits on health and fitness centers, hotels, recreational services, and manufacturing businesses. Rising cases of COVID and increased restrictions on economic activity will likely result in further job losses, and business closures, again, as was the case under similar circumstances in the spring.
Merry Christmas, kids. Your dad just lost his job. Yeah.
Happy holidays. Not only can you not, go out and order, Chinese if you burn the turkey or the ham or whatever, but you likely can't afford one either.
Well, they are still allowing takeout, so the Chinese places are probably doing okay.
Oh, that's true.
Because they already had a strong takeout business.
But you can't go and sit down and eat there because they've closed internal.
No, you can't. And it's not just in Illinois. These things, these restaurant restrictions, we're seeing them pop up all over the place. There was another article about, I think it was Los Angeles, also banning outdoor eating, even though there's absolutely no evidence, according to the story I was looking at, there's no evidence whatsoever that COVID is, easily able to pass outdoors. But, they're shutting it down anyway. Abundance of caution.
What on God's green earth are these people up to?
I don't know.
It's like watching a Bond villain. It's just destruction for the sake of destruction.
Segueing back to a thought that I had actually last night, it was myself, Richie Rich, and Peakless Mountaineer doing the show last night, and we had talked about, again, the bit about the extreme marine quarantine came up, where it seems to me that it's been proven that quarantine, including masking and extreme measures of, sanitizing everything at every step of the way, going overboard with all of your, bleaching of things and Lysoling of things and all that kind of stuff, had, no impact, or at least, there was no difference between not doing any of those things as far as the rate of spread of COVID was concerned. And
it was the rate was no lower. The spread was no lower.
It wasn't any higher without doing those things. And in fact, Peakless Mountaineer he pointed out that in fact it went down a little bit with the extreme quarantine measures. Right. Now, I don't know if it was an appreciable amount, but it did go down a little bit. So the harder you lock down, the harder you quarantine, according to the extreme marine quarantine, it actually increases the rate of spread just a little bit. So I was thinking about that on the drive over to the studio today, and I was like, if that is true, and that extreme quarantine measures actually slightly increase the rate of spread of sickness, then it's actually the masked people who are killing grandma.
Well, they won't agree with that. They don't want to see it that way.
Well, they don't have to agree with it.
They feel like they're doing something by putting on this mask.
Sure.
When, as has been observed many a time, they're constantly touching and constantly readjusting the mask.
Absolutely.
And they're not washing their hands after every single time they touch the mask.
Yep.
So therefore, they're actually likely spreading whatever it is they have even further and onto more surfaces and onto more whatevers than...
But it occurred to me that, all of this mask shaming, whatever, is actually wrong. It's the opposite.
Well, I'm not going to shame somebody because they're wearing a mask.
No, me neither.
That's not something that I'm going to do. It's your face. You can do whatever you want with it. But I will say that I think that it is harming people. I think it's harming society. I think it's harming the human experience. I was just in Walmart today and... walking about, and of course everybody in the store, almost everyone, I did find one guy that didn't have a mask on, and I complimented him.
Did they, the Walmart usually has the greeters. I haven't been into Walmart in a long time. Did they say something to
you? This guy's recognizing me now, and he didn't say anything this time. He just gave me a nod. But he had said to me on two previous occasions, "You got a mask?" or some sort of something about mask. I don't pay close attention. I'm just walking by, and I usually just say, "No thanks," and just walk in. And that's the end of it.
Good
but,
on you.
You know, it's just the experience of going around and having people with masks on is so antisocial. It makes you feel unwelcome, and it makes you feel disconnected from people. Now,
agreed.
Now, I understand that you don't have a good connection with the people that you're walking around Walmart with generally anyway, but it's just that much stranger to not be able to see anyone smile.
Yeah.
To see people sort of going out of their way to avoid you or to look at you funny or whatever. And it just has a different vibe to it.
Yeah.
Whereas I've, more likely in the past would do something like make eye contact and say hello to somebody. And I actually made a point of saying hello to a couple of the employees just, to say, be nice, right? To give them a smiling face or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just there was a couple of employees where it was just it felt so weird. And
I think you're onto something, because for so long, at least in my life, and probably yours too, maybe everybody sitting here today, wearing a mask has been associated with up to no good, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to rob a bank. You wear a mask, right? The bandits tied the little thing around their face, right? You know, folks who didn't want to show their face, generally up to no good, right? And so that's sitting in the back of everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. Right. Even to this day. And even though now they've said, oh, masks are required or whatever it is that the government is saying, when you go into a place like a store where everybody's masked up, you now have this adversarial expectation.
Right.
Because that's the expectation.
Am I going to get challenged?
Right. You know, so even the little interactions you would have, like, you know, oh, you cut somebody off or maybe you bumped into somebody's cart or whatever. And normally it's a pleasant, oh, excuse me, pardon me, I didn't see you there or whatever, that kind of thing. I could see how that could become a more adversarial experience now because just because people are wearing masks.
Yeah, it dehumanizes. I'm sorry for all the people that are, you know, out there thinking this is somehow a pro-human thing to wear masks, because that's the way it's being sold, right? Like, oh, you want to help people, you want to wear a mask.
That's the gaslighting that you're being sold.
But the reality is, I think, very, very different. I think it is very anti-human. I think it is antisocial. And it's not only is it hurting just the average person in their experience, but it is doing uncounted damage to young people, especially kids. I can't even imagine how effed up these kids are going to be from having to do this.
See, I wouldn't be surprised if they turned out kind of better, because they may figure out earlier that the government is not to be trusted.
We've got more Free Talk Live coming up. Yes, indeed, it is Free Talk Live, the live call-in radio talk show program, also streaming and on satellite radio somewhere, where you can call and take control of the airwaves, talk about anything you would like to discuss. Our toll-free number is 855-450-3733 or 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. In the studio tonight, it's me, the captain.
It's Ian.
And the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
And I want to know what the fork is going on with ForkFest 2021.
It's going to happen, man. It's going to be great, I think.
You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 28th through July 4th for ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and ForkFest is decentralized, which means no one is in charge. That also means there's no ticket cost. Just reserve your camping, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 28th through July 4th.
Good plan.
Where better to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire? I can't think of a better place. You can relax and enjoy the camaraderie of like-minded people. You can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to have. If you are planning an event for ForkFest, be sure to let others know in advance. You can connect with fellow ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum. Links to those are on the unofficial website, forkfest.party. Mark your calendar for June 28th through July 4th, 2021, and we'll see you at forkfest.party.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Through.
Especially since, well, you know, we were just discussing off air that, you know, the entertainment industry basically doesn't exist right now. I mean, outside of a few, you know, television shows
parts
and movies
of it that exist to manipulate us does.
Well, right.
Yeah.
But outside of, you know, TV shows and movies that were sort of already in the works.
Mm-hmm. They are making some new TV series.
A few.
That is happening. In fact, there's articles out there about how, I had one in show prep a few weeks ago, but we didn't get to it, about how, like, The Walking Dead is filming now with COVID-restricted filming, and they're bragging about all the extra steps.
Are the zombies going to be running around wearing masks?
I don't think so, but they're not going to show. I don't mean in
like regular life, like we see now, the zombies running around with masks. I mean in the TV show, The Walking Dead.
No, I don't think it's the maskiness is not going to likely invade the plot of the show. But they, at least, I hope not. But they are, you know, bragging about all the behind the scenes things they're doing to distance from one another and et cetera, et cetera. Every company, right? Even the movie companies, they gotta brag to their customers and their buyers about how safe. We're so safe now. Look how safe we are here on the Walking Dead set. And it's pretty sad, but that's what's going on.
I just wanna take a minute.
I always love to, you know, watch pussies act.
I just want to take a minute because I want to make sure I say this on the air. I haven't heard anybody say this, but here's how we get out of this mess.
Okay.
Everybody take off your masks, unless you really want to wear one, and then everybody just go ahead and open all your businesses.
Okay, everybody's not going to do those things.
I know, but that's...
Nobody will.
That's how we get out of this thing.
Yeah, you could probably get out of it with 10%.
Yeah.
You don't have to shoot for everybody. Yeah. I mean, you can shoot for everybody, but you're never going to get there.
I don't want to shoot everybody.
No. Four.
Oh, shoot four. Yeah. Sorry.
Like shoot for the moon.
Aim as in.
Like shoot for the moon, get over the fence, that kind of thing.
I just wanted to say it because it seems to me that that is the way to go about getting out of this. Even if, you know, the leaders, if you will, or the goons, as we like to refer to them as in government, like if they really wanted to get out of this mess, all they would do is let nature take its course,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not. We've seen time and time again, the extreme marine quarantine proves that these extreme lockdown measures really don't do anything to slow the spread.
Well, there's no evidence that they want to get out of this mess. They are the ones who created the mess.
Right.
I'm not saying they created COVID. That's a whole other question, but created the lockdown.
It certainly is a coincidence that it popped up in the shadow of literally the only known bioweapons lab in China.
Indeed. It is suspicious. But, lift the restrictions, open your businesses, take off your masks, let nature take its course, because guess what? More than 99% of us are going to recover from it.
Yeah, color me unconcerned.
So, to me, there's no reason why we can't just get back to normal, let people get sick at the rate they're going to get sick, and then, it'll be done.
I feel like there's a much greater risk from local, state, and federal government actors possibly destroying your life and killing you or putting you in a jail cell than there is coming down with some disease that you're probably going to survive.
I hate it when that happens.
Do we need some good news?
Yes, let's hear it. Well, we already had good news earlier. Bitcoin's hit a record high.
I don't know how good a news this is, but I felt it might be good if it goes through. This is from Forbes.com. Congress set to a vote. Okay, apparently this writer doesn't know.
Pretty bad title.
Congress set to vote on MORE Act the first week of December. If you don't know what the MORE Act is, I'm going to tell you. It's the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act of 2019.
Okay.
It has been set for vote by Congress between December 2nd and 4th of 2020, so just a few days away. The MORE Act, sponsored by Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, decriminalizes marijuana at the federal level and allows the states to set their cannabis regulation policies. A significant highlight of the bill includes expungements of convictions for many federal marijuana-related offenses and a 5% commercial cannabis tax towards communities affected by the war on drugs.
A federal sales tax.
Yeah, federal sales tax.
So they're going to tax us to pay for the damage they did with the war on drugs.
The taxpayer always loses, as we know. So, of course. What I deem the good news is the expungement of federal marijuana-related offenses.
How many items, before we go on, are taxed federally? I mean, cell phones and phone lines obviously have federal taxes on them. Just trying to think offhand. I mean, gasoline, that's going to have a federal tax on it.
What about automobile sales?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never really bought a brand new car, I can't speak to that. But how many of them, of the federal taxes, how many of them are collected at the level of the consumer, meaning at checkout, at retail? How many of those taxes are collected then versus at the wholesaling or the manufacturing levels?
All I can say is what I know about what happened in Seattle as far as the marijuana industry is concerned, and that is that the state of Washington taxed each level. So the growers were taxed, the distributors were taxed, and then the retailers were taxed all at around 50%.
I thought it was 25%, but
maybe it equated to 50%
after it was
between
all said
the three.
And done.
Yeah, maybe it was.
But that was a state tax.
But it was really high.
I mean, it's not uncommon for states to tax business at the retail level. But federal retail taxes, that seems fairly unusual to me. Maybe I'm just not thinking of them off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but if you
can
think of one, let us know at 855-450-FREE.
Please do. This is Free Talk Live. We'll talk more about the MORE Act and the possibility of federal legalization of marijuana. Coming up.
Scratching and losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to chicken. Another vet says, eat the grain. Third vet says, it's the weather. And then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
It took 2 weeks, and the dog stopped itching. The hair stopped falling out. The Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live, everybody. It is the live radio talk show program where you can call in, take control of the airwaves, talk about anything you'd like. Our toll-free number is 855-450-3733 or 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
Ian, you had asked a question of our callers. And during, I could only find some major examples. The five major ones of federal tax are highway tax, aviation tax, tobacco, alcohol, and health.
Yeah,
and these
but
are just
I don't
excise
think
taxes,
tobacco,
so.
Right, excise tax, I don't think you're paying the federal tax, you know, at the register. It's been likely built into the price of the wholesale is my guess, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, the people who are selling tobacco and beer or whatever in convenience stores and elsewhere, they may be collecting a sales tax if their state has a sales tax, but I don't think that they're collecting any kind of federal tax for that. I think that's already been paid at the wholesale level. That's my guess, but I've never been in those businesses.
I suspect you are correct, but yeah. I've never owned one of those businesses, so I can't speak intelligently.
And it's not clear if they're talking about putting a sales tax on here. It says a 5% commercial cannabis tax.
Right.
So what does that mean? Because it's commercial, does that mean it's at the wholesaler level? How does that work out exactly? And can New Hampshire, if New Hampshire, for instance, legalizes cannabis...
Mm-hmm.
They have decrim in New Hampshire, and actually I kind of like the idea of just decriminalizing it all the way down to no penalty whatsoever.
Well, real decriminalization, not this fake decriminalization where it's still a law on the books, but they make it the lowest priority of prosecution.
Yeah, it's not there yet. We're not even that far with decrim, Captain. They still, I don't know what the priority of it is, but they can still fine you $100 for possession of under 3/4 of an ounce. Here in New Hampshire, but it is—it does seem to be a lot better than it used to be as far as enforcement of those things is concerned.
Yeah.
But I just wonder could New Hampshire say, you know what, we're not going to collect that tax. We're not going to force our companies that are creating cannabis here in New Hampshire to collect the 5%.
Right.
What are you going to do, feds?
And what exactly do they mean by a 5% commercial cannabis tax towards communities affected by the war on drugs? I mean, aren't all communities affected by that?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Somebody's
going to get politically benefited on that one.
Right. Who decides who these communities are and aren't?
Kamala Harris. She wrote the bill.
Yeah. I'll take some reparations. I did a year and a half.
Right.
You're not a community.
Well, am if you consider the microorganisms.
He could identify as a community. He could identify as a community.
Ah, excellent.
You know,
excellent, yes.
Perhaps. Other provisions include, this is more about the Moore Act.
I just won't identify as late for dinner.
Please don't. Other provisions include opportunities for cannabis businesses and expansion for medical cannabis with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Can you imagine the VA screwing up marijuana for the veterans?
They will.
They could screw up a wet dream.
I mean, the VA itself is full of horrible stories about all sorts of fun things like scalpels getting left inside patients after surgeries, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine them doing
Remember, any
justice.
No matter how bad COVID may get, there's still more people killed by medical malpractice every single year.
Initially set for September, the vote was pushed back due to Congress responding to creating a coronavirus aid package first before promoting the legalization agenda pre-election. As a response when making the vote to later in the year, Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said in a statement from roll call, "The Moore Act remains a critical component of House Democrats' plan for addressing systemic racism and advancing criminal justice reform." How does legalization of marijuana become a critical component of addressing systemic racism?
Well, I mean, for one thing, one of the big things that they hide behind when they harass black folks is the drug laws.
That's true. That's true. You know. The increase in bipartisan support has left many stakeholders with the bill's backing and its potential. Blah, 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 blah. This is
so are they going to reschedule? Is that what this bill proposes? I don't remember if you said that.
It was rescheduled.
Sure.
It was originally scheduled for September, and now it is set to be voted on sometime between December 2 and 4.
No, that's not what I meant. I meant the scheduling of the drugs, specifically.
Oh, Schedule 1, 2,
Schedule
or whatever
1,
right.
Yeah, marijuana, cannabis is in Schedule 1, which means there's no medically accepted benefit for the products in that particular category, which is ridiculous, but that's where it is.
I have not read the proposed bit. I have not read the Moore Act to have
an
idea.
Yeah, I just didn't know if they mentioned that in the story.
I'm scrolling now because I really, the rest of this is just blah, 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 politician.
Yeah, it sucks to read what they have to say.
I don't care for any of these people and what they have to say. The only thing I do want to say about this is, and I said this in Washington too, when I lived out there and they legalized marijuana. In Washington state, despite the fact that marijuana recreationally is legal and there are marijuana retailers popping up everywhere, in fact, the marijuana retailers were classified as essential during the great lockdown of 2020.
Well, I don't disagree with them, but I think everyone's essential.
But what I want to say is
I'll
this.
I'll tell you, anybody with courage is essential right about now.
What I want to say is this. In the state of Washington, there are still people in jail for what is now legal. That is the recreational use or just even holding on to a little bit of the green leafy substance known as marijuana that are still in freaking jail. Let those people out. You want more money for your budget, politicians? How about you release everybody who's in jail on a marijuana charge? Everybody. How about you release everybody who's in jail on a non-violent charge of any kind? There's your extra frickin' money for whatever your new initiative is that you so badly need. Instead of continuing to rape the taxpayers, let peaceful people out of frickin' prison.
So the good news here is that according to the Congressional Research Service, which is a government office, they have a piece about this Moore Act. It was written on November 25th. The piece about the act obviously was written a long time ago. It was actually introduced in 2019. But according to this story, they are, in this particular act, presuming it's not amended or whatever, it would remove marijuana from the schedule of controlled substances. So not deschedule or not to reschedule it, but to deschedule it, to take it off of the schedule entirely, which
so
would leave it completely to the states. And if they actually did that, it would be really interesting because, you know, I'm not getting my hopes up or anything like that. Although if they do pass this and Trump signs it, that would be a good legacy for him. But if they do this, my understanding of the way the New Hampshire drug statutes work is the New Hampshire drug statutes basically say the drugs that are prohibited in New Hampshire are what are on the federal schedule.
Oh.
So there's not a prohibition of cannabis. This is what the Weed Clause was talking about years ago.
Yeah.
Bob Constantine, who we actually happened to run into yesterday.
Except if you look at the statute, though, I don't know if you've read it recently, it does talk about specific drugs in the RSA.
Oh, really? Okay, because that's what he had told me. So,
well, it talks about federal law as well, but I think it's always more complex than they give it credit for because, you know, they make it as confusing, as incomprehensible as they can.
I'm sad I missed Weed Clause.
Yeah, well, he's talking about coming out more often.
I'll tell you, really, if the drug warriors need to be tried for crimes against humanity, that's what would happen. In a just world.
The government agents who participated in the war on drugs is what you're talking about. Yes.
Yes. They should be tried and they should be made to suffer for what they did to all of us.
I agree.
Yeah, you're right. There is a prohibition on possession of marijuana in there. Oh, well.
Well, you know, that sucks. 855-450-3733. Have you been adversely affected by marijuana laws? More Free Talk Live coming up. The final segment of the Monday night edition of Free Talk Live. Our toll-free number is 855-450-3733. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
And we are going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to go to London.
My bloody hell.
Pip cheerio. Some tea and crumpets. A little Doctor Who. No, none of that. Ian, what's going on in London?
Well, people are actually taking to the streets in an anti-lockdown protest with large numbers attending. In fact, so large that they actually arrested over 150 of these people. We're talking about likely thousands of people in the streets just based on some of the footage that I've seen.
Are they keeping them 6 feet apart in jail?
That's a good question.
Or what about even in the... assumably, when they're arresting that large number of people, they have one of these buses to put the people in. I wonder if they're socially distancing their prisoners there.
I don't know about that. You know, ultimately, these jails only have so much room.
Right.
So if you can successfully overwhelm the system with large numbers, they can only put so many of you, whether they're doing social distancing or not,
right. They
can only put so many of them behind bars, which is why having numbers on your side is so important, because you really can do almost anything that you want to do if you have enough people
right. That
are backing you, whether that be ignore the government or take it down. Once you have enough people on your side, you can do whatever.
Right.
More than 150 arrested, according to TheGuardian.com, as anti-lockdown protesters clashed with police in central London after officers sought to break up the demonstration. They said 155 arrests were made over the weekend for offenses including breaching coronavirus regulations, assaulting a police officer, and possession of drugs. In an often chaotic scenes, hundreds of demonstrators, including a man dressed as Santa Claus, descended on the city center on Saturday afternoon chanting freedom and causing traffic disruption.
Did they arrest Santa Claus?
I didn't see footage of that, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Officers were attempting to disperse the protesters after the Met argued the demonstration was unlawful under coronavirus bans on gatherings after the removal of the specific protest exemption. So it used to be that protests were exempt.
Right.
They removed that exemption, and so now any sort of gathering whatsoever is prohibited.
They're clamping down on the protesters.
Time for the protesters to clamp back.
Officers were attempting to disperse the protesters. Some legal commentators and rights groups, however, believe protests could still be permitted under the reasonable excuse rule in the regulations, and described claims that protests were banned outright as alarming. Well, look, you shouldn't be looking for a loophole to
have your protest,
thread your protest
right, yeah.
through. You should be just having the protest, and that's what they did. They just went out. They hit the streets. And
when the law is unjust, break the law.
Absolutely. That's what good people would do. Unfortunately, Americans are too docile. Because this stuff's happening in Germany. It's happening in the UK. Yeah. It's happening in multiple European countries. I don't know what Asia is looking like right now. I haven't heard any stories, but that doesn't mean they're not happening there. But in the United States, I mean, it's crickets.
Yeah, they're, well,
and
by way
unusual.
Of comparison. Yeah.
We tend to be historically more fractious than they are most of the time. So I don't know what's wrong with us lately. Maybe we're sick.
Well, I mean, they're sick in mentally, but I don't know if they're sick with COVID or any real sickness. Well,
no, I meant just under the weather and not up to our usual fightingest.
I wouldn't say there is a usual here, nobody. I mean, Americans have been docile for the last, basically my entire adult lifetime. I have not seen significant protest in
more
any...
More docile than Europeans?
Yeah, absolutely. Those Europeans, they get out in the streets. Now, maybe they're socialists and they want more socialism,
right.
But they get out in the streets in a major way. Like, we're talking about... Like, look at Barcelona, for instance, where...
Somehow I don't... maybe that's it. It's just... I don't see how making, how wanting the government to be more your master is
look at the yellow
protesting
jackets
for that. It doesn't strike me.
But that's what they do. I mean, look, if you look at Barcelona in, I'm forgetting the name of the state or whatever.
Mommy, you have to make more rules for me.
Spain, you know what I'm talking about? There's a certain Spaniard province that wants to secede.
Catalonia. I was talking to a guy on Telegram, and he was in Italy. We were talking about, and I mentioned they were rioting in Europe, which he didn't seem to know. And then he said something about, well, you know, you guys actually have guns. And I was like, well, bro, yeah, I bet that if you go find some people called the Casa Nostra or operating in your very neighborhood, I'll bet they can find you a weapon at very reasonable price.
I was in Seattle for both the WTO protests as well as the Occupy protests. And those were large,
yeah.
But they certainly weren't anything along the lines of, like you're talking about, the Catalonia.
Not thousands, tens of thousands or hundreds. In Catalonia, you're looking at tens, if not 100,000 plus people were in the streets. And we've seen similar protests like that across Europe. I mean, look at the Yellow Jackets or the Yellow Vests there in France last year. Those were tremendous numbers, thousands upon thousands of people. And it's very rare to see crowds like that.
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. America, the United States of America, or the geographic area that is more commonly known as that, is the land of the comfortable.
It is.
It is not the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is the land of the comfortable.
Yeah, there's very little evidence.
It is the land of the free and the home of the slave.
Yeah,
correct.
That's very accurate. There's very little evidence that people in the United States have
land of
what
the docile and comfortable. And as long as they're docile and comfortable, nothing like that is going to happen.
So the Met, which I believe is that the name for the cops there or something in the UK? I don't know who that is. They said officers made early interventions to prevent people gathering and urged protesters to return home. They said this included intercepting coaches transporting groups into London, and people who did not turn back were either arrested or issued with fixed penalty notices. Officers faced jeers from demonstrators and chants of shame on you and choose your side as they sought to end the protest and enter crowds to make arrests, some forcibly.
I thought the cops had already chosen their sides. That seemed pretty clear.
They were also pelted with missiles on at least one occasion, according to video footage.
With missiles?
Yeah, I think that's a British term for just anything that's thrown.
I was like, yeah, they're bringing missiles to their protest?
Traffic was temporarily blocked. At one point, green smoke was released as protesters were surrounded by police at the top of Carnaby Street. The main crowd of demonstrators appeared to disperse near Piccadilly Circus before reforming elsewhere in the shopping district. Anti-lockdown protest groups had called for supporters to travel to King's Cross, London for the mass protest at midday Saturday. But by the time, by 11 a.m., that location had changed after police had made arrests. So the cops went to where the protesters were going to go and started arresting the people who were arriving there first. And so they changed the location. The protesters were mostly not wearing masks nor social distancing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and which is why it's really refreshing to watch this footage to see people just walking through the streets.
Normal face.
Yeah, and that's what they are doing. They weren't just sitting in one place. They were moving about through the streets. So they were being seen by a lot of people that I imagine were still inside their homes, which is an interesting tactic. The groups, according to the story here, please ensure you have access to social media throughout the day, as the rally will need to be reactive to circumstances. This according to Stand Up X, an anti-lockdown group, in a flyer posted on Telegram. So they're using Telegram to organize this as well, which is interesting. Quote, bring pots, pans, whistles, party horns, and anything you can
giant
be heard.
Buckets of tar and feathers, imitation guillotines.
Mm-hmm.
Real guillotines.
So,
they know how to use those things in Europe, or at least they used to.
Well, they don't have firearms, or at least they don't have legal firearms.
Yeah, and you know, if you guys really are going to ever have any freedom, you're going to have to do something about that, because the reality is your governments will just slaughter you when they get tired of it if you don't have guns.
One protester told Sky News, which is their equivalent of Fox over there, before being moved on by riot police, quote, I got pushed about by police for no reason earlier just because they're squashing up anybody that wants to complain. This is no free country. Another held a placard saying, your fear leads to losing our liberty. Yeah. While another man waved a Swedish flag because they were one of the least restrictive of the European states.
I do want to say that when it comes to people protesting because, you know, you want more freedom, right? Something has happened. You have less freedom, so you want to protest and get your freedom back, whatever's been taken away. It is important to remember that other people, if you want freedom yourself, you must be tolerant of other people who also want freedom. Mm.
The price of tolerance is tolerance.
Yeah. You know, you may bump into people that don't act or think like you during these protests. In your desire for more freedom, and you must be able to work with them to achieve your goal instead of work against them. We are out of time for today. You can get our archives at freetalklive.com. We're on 7 days a week. Peace.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BainBooks.com.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.